Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh man, it's good to be back on the radio tonight. So much to talk about, so little time, this abbreviated fan evening show for me tonight, 8 to 10:30. There has been a crime committed here. Joel Nelson's behind the glass. I'm Josh Rountree. I come into the studio tonight. So I am coming on late tonight. I had a prior obligation. I had an ACC Network broadcast, a lacrosse game that I was doing, Pitt against Clemson. Great game. Went to overtime. But I come in here, and somebody was definitely aware of what I was doing today, and they left me a note. And that note says, quote, there's two notes, actually, Joel, in here. Did you see these?
No.
You didn't do this, did you?
No, I don't know.
You're not making jokes?
No, not me.
Uh-huh. One of the notes says, quote, lacrosse is dumb, and it's is spelled I-Z, and dumb is spelled D-U-M. And the other note says, and you can't read good. Now, I am sitting in the seat that is previously occupied by Mulzey, Chris Muller. This is normally his seat. Most other hosts, just so you get the layout here of the studio, most other hosts, when they host solo, they sit on the other side. They sit in the pony, I guess you could call it, seat. He was previously in that seat over there. I think Crowley sits in that seat in the morning. Joe, I believe, sits in that seat in the afternoon. So it's sort of the ringleader of the show, sits in the, we call it the number one chair. But unlike Nelly, I am not number one. That's a reference probably that Joel has just going right over his head. But I like to sit in the number two chair, which is the Mulzey, I guess it was the Ron Cook chair. Now I guess it's the Paul Zeiss occasionally chair. This is the Doran spot, I believe, as well. But somebody left me this note here that says that I can't read. Now, I have my suspects, and I did reach out to Chris Muller, and I said, is this your doing? Now, I think Chris is enough of a man that he would say, yes, that I was just kidding with you. I left you those notes. But he flat out denies having any involvement in this whatsoever. He says, I don't even understand the joke. I don't know what's going on. So now there's an investigation afoot, Joel. And I will spend the rest of the night trying to get to the bottom. I'm really not going to try that hard because I have a pretty good idea of who did this. His name starts with a J and ends with an F. Hathorn, which is what I think of this note if it is him that did it. Anyways, I'm Josh Rountree. It's a fan evening show. Good to be with you tonight. I wanted to start the show talking Penguins, but there has been a development, Joel. There has been a happening here tonight. I wouldn't go as far as to say that this is some sort of breaking news, because it's not exactly breaking news. It's a continuation of something happening right now within one of the Pittsburgh pro sports organizations that, boy, if you're not extra excited now about this, I don't think you have a pulse. Paul Skeens pitched tonight for Indianapolis. I would like to see Paul Skeens pitch for the Pirates relatively soon. I get it. They're building him up. I understand. But Paul Skeens tonight, once again, looking like men's against boys, as Michelle Therrien once famously said in a post-game press conference. So there's your Penguins talk for the opening segment. Men's against boys. Paul Skeens against, I don't know, who they play tonight? St. Paul. Doesn't matter. He's striking everybody out. This guy is outrageously filthy right now. Here are the numbers for Paul Skeens tonight. 3 1/3 innings, one hit, no runs, nobody scores on this guy. Two walks, 8 strikeouts again. Let's update the ticker here. Let's update the counter. This is what Paul Skeens is doing right now in AAA ball this year. 12 2/3 innings of work, 5 hits, no runs, 27 strikeouts, and 4 walks. That, my friends, is really damn good. And that is what Paul Skeens is going to be. This guy is a cheat code right now. He's video game numbers. He's entirely unfair to minor league hitters. Mind you, this isn't him blowing guys away in high A ball. It's not him pitching for Altoona against guys that, well, some of them, half of them, if not more, will never reach the major leagues. He is going up against guys who are fringe big leaguers, guys who could certainly spend some time in the show, if not extended time in the big leagues, very, very soon. A good, for instance, look at the lineup the Pirates ran out there tonight for Indianapolis. Nick Gonzalez played for the Pirates last year. Jiwon Bae, a big leaguer. Grandal, big leaguer. Lamb, big leaguer. Pagero in the big leagues last year. Smith and Jigba, even, their 9-hitter, a guy who has spent time in the majors. So that's the caliber of opponent that Paul Skeens is playing right now. He is playing against your fringe major leaguers. And they look like boys against men's against Paul Skeens. They are getting their you-know-whats whipped one way, set back, and whipped another by Paul you-know-whatting Skeens. All this to say, I really wish I could watch this guy pitch at PNC Park soon. I would like to see him face off against an actual major league lineup and do all that you-know-what whipping. Wouldn't that be fun sometime soon? My biggest issue with this, and I understand, you don't want to throw Paul Skeens out there 7 innings a night, especially pitching like this, and burn him out, go over his, you know, innings limit or whatever early on. I get it. You want to slow play him. That's fine. Here's my thing, though. Didn't we just see the same logic applied the other night to Jared Jones? Didn't Jared Jones have a cap when he had a one hitter working, when he was just as filthy as Paul Skeens is being right now in the minors? He was doing it at the majors in that given moment. But we got to pull the reins. We got to say whoa instead of sick 'em. And that is your Steelers reference for the opening of this show. If you're willing to let Jared Jones have a pitch count in the majors, why can't Paul Skeens have a pitch count in the majors? Why is Jared Jones able to be here because he proved that he was able to be here, but Paul Skeens can't? Well, look, I know what you're going to say. It's all about the money. But that really shouldn't be a factor anymore. This team, I think, has shown up until this weekend series in New York, or weekday series. I don't know. What day is it, Joel? Thursday? It's Thursday. It was a weekday series against the Mets. I'm all twisted. Somebody left a terrible note for me here. What I'm getting at, though, if you're comfortable with Jared Jones only pitching five innings, only throwing 50 to 60 pitches, Paul Skeens tonight, you know how many pitches he threw in this game? He ended up at 65. That is more than what Jared Jones threw before his cap was put in place, and he was lifted from a game. Look, I'm really excited about Jared Jones. I think the Pirates have a stud in the making. I think we are seeing more and more and more and more arm injuries as this thing goes. Tommy John now feels more like a rite of passage than an outlier when it comes to Major League Baseball. It just feels at this point like if you don't have Tommy John, at some point you're in the minority by a good margin. And I don't have the numbers specifically to back that up, but it does feel like there is an increase in arm injuries. Skeens needs to be here soon. If anything, I'm going back to what happened last year with this Pirates team, right? They could have used a massive shot of life when they were 20-8 out of the gate. They crumbled entirely after that, and they just didn't have that shot of life that they needed. It's too early to determine if the Pirates are crumbling early. They certainly haven't played well since that 5-0 start. And they were just roughed up by the Mets. The bullpen didn't look all that sharp. It was a bad series offensively, and I get it. Skeens doesn't directly help either of those two things, but perhaps early on here, if there's a little bit of realization of, oh, we can do this, we can make a run, and this organization is serious about winning, then, hey, maybe it ignites you at some point. And I'm not saying that it has to happen now on April 18th. I'm not beating the table saying, why is Paul Skeens not here? But my understanding of the way that the minor leagues work in sports is that when you prove that you are far too good for the minor leagues, you stop playing in the minor leagues. Because the major league team is what's most important here. The long-term future of Paul Skeens is very important. There's no question about that. I get it. I don't want the guy to have Tommy John ever. That's a year and a half on the shelf. I get it. I do. I don't want that to happen to Jared Jones either. I don't want it to happen to any Pirates pitcher. We saw when it happened to Vince Velasquez and he had the elbow thing last year and had to go out, we saw what could happen. They had a guy pitching like a Cy Young candidate in Velasquez. That corresponded to their season really going in the pooper. Pardon my French. I don't want to see that happen again. Brubaker, it happened to last year as well. Burrows, it happened to last year when he was kind of on the verge of sort of where Skeens maybe is right now from a chance to get to the major sort of perspective. So I understand it. I understand that it is a hard place to be if you're Ben Cherington, if you're Derek Shelton, if you're this entire organization. You don't want to rush this guy up, put too much on his arm, and then you don't have him for a year and a half when you feel like there is a window developing for you to win. I get it. But I go back to this. If Jared Jones can pitch here and be on a pitch count, I'm comfortable when the time is, I shouldn't say when the time is right because that puts it back on their terms, but pretty damn soon here, it needs to be the right time. Paul Skeens needs to be here, and he needs to pitch in the majors, and he needs to put butts in seats at PNC Park because he will do that. It can't be in June or July at this point. At that point, hell, even if you get to late May at the rate he is at, this is being unfair to Paul Skeens. At some point, you have to reward a guy for being just too good. And he is too good right now. Again, I go back to this. My theory on the minor leagues, what I have been told is how this thing works, is if a player is too good to be in a certain level, he gets moved to the next level until he is out of levels to move up to, in which case he becomes a Hall of Famer if he's too good for the top level. So we have a guy right now within this Pirates organization who is too good for where he is. I think my biggest issue with all of this is the backwards-ass system that rewards teams for not bringing their best players to the highest level. It is stupid. To be honest with you, I don't really know where this comes from. I don't know where, you know, keeping a player down should be able to benefit you financially long term. It's stupid. It does no good for your fans, and it's another example of why Major League Baseball, in so many ways, is stuck in the dark ages. Why they're for the dinosaurs. Because it refuses to give people what they want, and that is star power at the highest level, drama at the highest level. It's always holding itself back. And look, we can be mad at the Pirates. We can be upset or frustrated with what they're doing, but they're doing what they feel is best, A, financially for them long-term, and B, for the individual health of the player. I want them to get to a point very, very soon where they are working in the interest of you. Of you, Joe Yinzer, who breaks out your MasterCard or your Visa or whatever, slaps it down and says, give me a ticket to go watch Paul Skeens play. That's who I want to be the priority here very soon. I get that there are other elements at play here. I understand them. I get it. There comes a time, though, where you just need to do right by, A, Paul Skeens, because, again, he's too good for where he is. This is not fair, and I don't know how much this is helping his development right now. Seriously. You know, if you stuck, this is maybe not a good example because this guy is an all-time legendary player, but if you stuck Sidney Crosby right now in, you know, Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and he's out there scoring, you know, two goals a night and filling it up because he's just that much better than everybody else, you would say, all right, we got to get this guy up. If you had a young, exciting player in the Penguins organization, of which there are very few, you would say, we got to get this guy up. This is the case with Paul Skeens. You got to get this guy up, and you got to do it soon. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 412-928-9370. Noah in Aliquippa is up first. What's up, Noah?
Hey, man, how you doing today?
I'm good. What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know what? You hit the nail on the coffin. I just got off work. I've been listening to your little soliloquy on baseball and everything. Like you said, it's unfair to Paul Skeens to not bring him up. He is outperforming. Like I saw it in his first start. Dude's blowing everybody away. It's not fair to the Pirates. It's not fair to the fans. I mean, I know I'm a lot younger. I'm 25 years old. I've been watching the Pirates since 2006, since Freddie Sanchez won the batting title, batting 335.
Yep.
It's unfortunate to see where this organization is. I love Ben Cherington, and I love the moves that he's made, but we need him up now. It's unfair. It's hindering his development. We have a great starter in Mitch Keller, and Jared Jones is unbelievable. We could have three top-notch starters, and look what Martin Perez is doing. Do we want to win now, or do we want to wait until later? It seems very, very odd, and I know what the Pirates are doing. They're trying to benefit themselves for the future, but what about the win now? What about now? Because this is the opportunity to take the Central, because the division is weak like it was last year, and we have the perfect opportunity. We have three great pitchers. We need to get better hitting, but it's just unfortunate, like you said. I appreciate your insight, and thank you so much. Butter me this, as always, sir.
Thanks, Noah. Appreciate it. Butter me this. That's the butter me this guy. We ran freaking promos with that guy saying butter me this forever. It's an Aliquippa thing.
And we still do.
We still run that promo?
Yeah, I've still heard that on Pirate Games.
Butter me this. Look, he makes the right point here. At some point, you're doing a disservice to Paul Skeens by keeping him where he is. It's like, all right, well, he's going to go out. He's going to pitch three innings. He's going to strike out eight guys, and then he's going to be done. Let's challenge the guy. Let's challenge the guy. You know, Joel, there was, believe it or not, there was a point where when I was in elementary school, all right, I tested, you're going to find this very surprising, as will probably anybody listening, as will probably most people who know me. There was a time in elementary school where I tested out of ordinary classes. I was too good. I was too smart for the ordinary classes. A lot of things changed in my life that resulted in me being who I am now. But this was third grade, so let's maybe take it easy. But essentially, my test scores were too high compared to the rest of the class. And they said, we got to find a way to get this kid some challenge in his life. So they 2 days a week, I went to a different school, and the classes were a little elevated, and it helped me out because I wasn't bored anymore. It helped my development. I'm a complete idiot now. I will gladly admit to that. No problem at all. But there was a time where I was kind of a smart little kid. And they realized that. This is what's happening with Paul Skeens. He's the smart kid in class right now. He needs to be challenged more. He needs to be the third grader that's reading on a sixth grade level and actually reading sixth grade books. Not the one that's getting bored in class and not developing. That's Paul Skeens right now. I think, honestly, I just want to watch the guy pitch in a Pirates uniform. That's really what it is.
It's just going to hit so much different black and gold.
Yeah, I'm whining and I'm moaning about all, but really what it comes down to, I just want to watch the guy pitch at PNC Park. Can we just be excited about a really, really good player for once coming up through this system and being what we think he can actually be, and that's a dominant player in the big leagues for years and years. Here's the other thing with the financial savings and all that down the line. This is the last thing I really want to, I mean, I'll get into more on it, but if the Pirates are true to what they're saying about paying their homegrown talent, and they've done that with Mitch Keller, they've done that with Brian Reynolds, they've done that with Key Brian Hayes, that shouldn't matter anymore. The thought of, hey, we might not be able to pay this guy one day, shouldn't matter. If that's how you're operating, you need to stop operating. If you're worried that we might not be able to pay this guy, you need to reassess your business priorities. That should not dictate the decisions that you make anymore, because you have shown your fan base now that that's not who you are. And I commend them for that. I applaud the organization for actually stepping up and paying their homegrown players like Hayes, Reynolds, and Keller. The last three guys that have been owed an extension that were in-house guys, they paid them. They need to keep that going, certainly. They're going to have a couple of big contracts coming up, no doubt. They need to keep paying guys, the guys that they develop. That's what a good organization will do. And it's what the Pirates, if they're going to be a good organization, should be running their business plan on right now. Right now, that's what should be happening. Let's go to Jeff and Cranberry up next on The Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I really do. I get the whole pitch count thing with Jones, and I get Skeens, you know, needing to stretch him out. I do, but this franchise has not been focused on winning for just way too long. You know, you have this kid pitch his heart out the other night, Jones, attacking and just so impressive. And then you bring a guy in like Ortiz. The only reason he's on the roster is because he has no options. He stinks. He's going to blow the lead. Hernandez comes in and box a run in. You have Roansy Contreras. It's okay. It's okay that this kid comes in and pitches his butt off. It's okay that Skeens is unhittable in AAA. It's okay if you lose at the major league level. It is a culture that is not focused on winning. And maybe it'll change, and maybe they know what they're doing. I don't know. But it is a culture that is it's okay. I hear Shelty say, it's okay. Look, Jones pitched great, but we had a plan for him, 59 pitches, and we're going to bring in this guy who the only reason he's in a Pirate uniform and the only reason he's in the major leagues is because he's out of options. So if he blows the game, which of course he did, he walked a guy, he got in trouble, he got behind in counts, of course he did. Because that's what he does, and that's what he's going to do. And it's okay because we kept the kid at 59 pitches. We lost the game, and yeah, we were in a skid, and yeah, now we lost the series. But that's okay. And it's just very few professional franchises are built that way, where the culture of winning is just always second fiddle. And I gotta tell you, like, how much more, it's to your point, how much more of this do we have to endure, you know?
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call, Jeff. I mean, look, again, my bigger issue here is if you're going to put a guy on a pitch count at the major league level, then the best guy that you have should be doing the same thing. I understand why they're doing pitch counts. The analytics, the statistics, the trends are showing that guys are getting arm injuries. I get it. And I don't want that to happen to these guys. And if we're talking about, you know, sacrificing an inning or two in April for the betterment of July and August and September, great. My big fear in this is that we will be sitting here in September saying, huh, they're a couple of games out. If they wouldn't have perhaps held Jared Jones back for that one inning that he could have pitched extra, they might be one game back. If they had brought Paul Skeens up maybe two games earlier, two starts earlier, they might be in a playoff spot right now. That's my worry, because I do think that their team overall is good enough to be in that position right now. I feel like they think that, but they're not acting like that for some reason. And that's what's frustrating. All right, one more call before we get to a break. Ron in Johnstown. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, I agree with that previous caller that the mindset isn't to win, but just to satisfy people. And the biggest problem I have is with Jones the other night. They holler about you know, messing up a guy's arm and this and that. They could fix that if they wanted to, but they don't, because what they wanted to do was give the people what they wanted, and that was more balls out over the fence. So at the turn of the century, what they do? They livened the ball up.
Yeah.
Now the guy has to stretch his arm and contort it to God knows what to get the ball from not bouncing and just jumping off the bat, because the ball's so much livelier. And that's what ruins their arm. they could fix it if they go back to the 90s ball, but they'll never do that.
No.
So, where are you?
That's not selling tickets. Or
that's what I mean.
Right.
That's what I mean. They're more worried about the people getting what they want with the balls going out of the park.
Yep.
And that's what happened to these guys. So, if that's the case, and this is the way the guys pitch now, use them to win games, but they won't do it.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Appreciate it. I don't know how much the baseball has to do with this. I mean, it plays a part, I guess, but I don't know. More than anything, I'm just bummed because I don't want to watch this guy pitch another game in an Indianapolis Indians uniform. Look, it's nothing against the Indians. It's cool what he's doing down there. He's blowing guys away, and it's great for the Indians right now. Not to be that guy, but I really don't give a damn what the Indianapolis Indians do from a win-loss standpoint. I care about the Major League team. Everything else is about getting the Major League team ready. That's just where I am. I think that's where 99% of Pirates fans are. It's great if the Indians win. More than anything, I want to see guys come up and leave Indianapolis. That's for the betterment of the organization as a whole. All right, we got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls, 412-928-9370, as you're listening to the Fan Evening Show. Fan text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 412-928-9370 is the number here on – did I just give the wrong number? 412-928-9370.
You forgot the zero.
Yeah, 412-928-9370. Is the number. I'm Josh Roundtree. It's the Fan Evening Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've called in reinforcements here for the note left for Roundtree gate. That's a long gate. If you are joining us late, I had to do a lacrosse match earlier for the ACC Network, and I come in, and there's two notes for me. Lacrosse is dumb, one says, and the other says, and you can't read good. My initial thought was Malzi because he sits at this chair, not him. He denies it, at least. I don't know. This could be like when somebody ate his Tuscan soup or whatever. That promo ran for a long time. He could just be lying, but I don't think he is. Then my thought was Hathorn, because this is a very Hathorn-esque move. Anybody that knows Jeff knows that he would leave a couple of notes that says something like this just as a joke. Jeff denies it. Jeff would come clean with me. I believe that. So Greg Finley is here. We're going to get to Greg in a second. Let's go to Dom, though, in Murraysville first. See his thoughts on the Pirates. What's up, Dom?
Hey, love the show.
Thanks, man.
How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I just want to get into a little bit about the circus act we got going down at PNC Park and that horrific coaching staff that consists of Derek Shelton and Andy Haynes, who would be better at teaching at the local school for blind. I mean, that guy is a clown. He's ruining O'Neill Cruz's career.
Are you talking Andy Haynes in particular?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Haynes should have been let go last season when they slumped so badly, and they stuck by him, and I felt like that was a move where Derek Shelton, he kind of handcuffed himself to this offense, essentially. I mean, you could make that move and get rid of the hitting coach and say, all right, we're going to refresh and we're going to actually put blame on somebody, but when you don't make the move, you're saying, hey, I'm going down with this ship if it doesn't go, and that's what he did last year, so we'll see. I mean, if it doesn't pan out and these guys don't hit like they didn't do in New York, then there has to be, I think, serious repercussions for that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's like Brian Hayes was going down and still seeing his old hitting coach down in AAA. That's the whole reason for that.
Yep. Thanks for the...
They don't want to see him, and then, you know, you got O's strikeout crew standing there looking like an idiot in the box with his bat on his shoulder.
Thanks for the call, Dom. All right. More important things to talk about. Where did the – Greg Finley's here. Greg, so we've crossed off two names on the list. Malzi crossed off. Hathorn crossed off.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Football I just texted, and I said, who did this? I used more colorful language in the text. And he said, I'm on a plane. I can't open the photo. Which seems really suspicious. Like, why is Donnie on a plane on a Thursday at 8:30?
He's off to Nashville, he said.
Is he?
For the weekend, yeah.
He's going to Nashville for the weekend? For what, a bachelorette party? What's he going to Nashville for?
I'm not sure. He really didn't tell me that, but just, you know, probably just like a general kind of like getaway weekend trip, if I had to take a guess.
Is it with his lady? Do we know?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm pretty sure it would be.
Well, I don't know. He goes everywhere with the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, I think
he just went to WrestleMania with the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, it's true.
So I.
So here's the thing.
You know what? I'm more bothered with somebody writing that lacrosse is dumb than I am with the "and you can't read good." I guess we do have the video stream, so you can see these now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Gonna go ahead and investigate, Josh.
These are the notes that were left for me when I came in tonight. So my next suspect is, should I say who the next suspect is?
Yeah, go ahead. Right.
The next suspect, Paul Alexander. My thought here is this. Paul Alexander was doing the news tonight. He left before I got here. He came in and he said, oh, why is there not a host in here yet? And then he came in and, well, you would have been producing at the time, Joel, when Paul left. So it can't be Paul. Or can it?
I think it could be.
maybe.
I love Paul, but it could very well be Paul.
Paul asked Donnie, who said, maybe he came in and said, oh, who's on after the PM team tonight? And Donnie said, oh, it's Roundtree, but he's not going to be here until a little bit later because he's doing lacrosse. Because I did tell Donnie that I was not going to be here at the normal start time of the show. This is cleared by our management as well, by the way. I don't just show up late for things. Some people do. I don't. Paul Alexander is probably next on the list of suspects here. I would say Cale Berger, but he's a morning guy now.
Correct.
He's over Yeehan and Hahn at Y108.
He ain't here in the evening anymore.
No, he's not getting anywhere near this place in the evening. He's probably asleep by now. He's got to get up at 4 a.m. to talk about country music.
Right. So, yeah.
He's got to talk about how Morgan Wallen chucked a freaking sofa off an apartment balcony or something this week.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that
you can... Do you like Morgan Wallen?
No, but I don't like country music.
I think he's an absolute douche. Anyways, keep going.
I think it's pretty easy that we can list our suspects and figure out who this is because there are only so many people here after 6 o'clock
exactly.
in the evening.
Exactly.
And if I go on that video feed and watch it and see if anybody walks in here and puts something right there, guess what? They're caught.
So you can go back. It's, I think it's mighty suspicious how quiet Joel is being through all of this.
I had nothing to do with this.
Joel didn't bring up that he could go back on the video stream and see who did it.
I should have thought of that, but I didn't.
Greg, you saw Skeen's pitch tonight. How filthy was it?
Oh, man. It was ridiculous. Like, he faced major league hitters in Max Kepler and Tony Kemp. He got behind the one guy. He was behind 3-0. Grandal comes out to the mound and was like, hey, just, like, throw a fastball, man. Like, they're not going to hit you.
Right.
Throws 99 right down the middle, strike one. Change up, swing and a miss. Change up, you're gone. Like, he just made it look so easy. And it feels like whenever Jacob deGrom was hurt and he had a rehab start and he faced these dudes in low A ball, this is triple A, and it feels like that with Paul Skeens facing these guys. I mean, it's just not fair. The one guy got lucky. It was 102 right down the middle. He timed it. He hit a double. But other than that, these guys can't hit him.
Yeah, I can live with a double every, you know, three innings
right.
being the only hit you give up.
Well, he's got 6 strikeouts against the other 7 batters. Or the other, yeah. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was awesome. And, you know, the one thing that I am, you know, hesitant, like everyone's like, you know, call him up now, call him up now. When he got to the 4th inning, he walked a batter on 4 pitches, and they pulled him. You know, he's going to have to build up his pitch count. He was over 60 pitches for the first time in AAA.
The other part of this, too, on top of that, Greg, is he has to get through a lineup twice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's plowing through a lineup once. Maybe he's catching a couple of guys twice at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only going 3 innings, you're just seeing a lineup once. These guys are all seeing him for the first time ever. This guy's throwing 102, and then he's taken off, and they're, you know, they're blindsided in that first at bat. He's not seeing any hitters twice, and I think that's a massive step in a pitcher's development. He has to be able to get through it in order a couple of times here.
I agree.
I'm super excited about it, but again, there is somewhat of a hindrance being given to his development by doing this, it seems like.
Well, and I think the plan was for him to go 4 innings or even maybe more, but once he got over 60 pitches, he walked the batter on 4, I think, and there was a base runner too already. I think they just decided, look, he looked great tonight. Let's not overdo it. He walked a guy on 4. We hadn't seen that all night. I think we saw what we needed to see.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that I was thinking
just
about.
Just frustrating, man.
Here was a thing I was thinking about on my way over tonight. What if they called him up and they used him as like a 7th inning reliever at the major league level? Just to get his feet wet in the MLB, you have your starter go 5 innings. You bring in somebody for the 6th. Skeens pitches the 7th. Chapman.
What about
Bednar.
This? They've done this before with Shelton. Piggyback 2 guys.
Yeah.
If you have a pitch count on Jared Jones and you have a pitch count on Paul Skeens, why not bring both up and piggyback them in the same game? Jones gets 4 innings. Skeens gets 4 innings. Bednar gets the 9th because the other team doesn't have any damn runs, so you know that you're going to be throwing your closer in the 9th.
Yeah, I like that a lot. If you're going to have him on a pitch count,
if you're going to have him on a pitch count, maximize it and get him the best competition possible for 4 innings.
Yep, absolutely. I think we're on to something. I don't know if they'll do it, but it's a good idea.
It doesn't have to be a long-term thing either. Do it for 2 starts and then say, all right, we're going to break this up, you know, maybe someone goes on the IL, for instance. Maybe somebody's ineffective and you want to put, let's say, Falter struggles and you want to put them in the bullpen or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Then you say, all right, we're gonna shift this around. You're going to get bumped to the next day instead of being the piggyback. We're going to stretch Jones out a little bit more. Bada bing, bada boom.
I like that a lot.
This is why I should be coaching the team. I'm going to find who wrote these notes.
I'm going to find it too.
I'm going to find who wrote these notes, and I think Joel might be going through the video feed right now.
So I was taking a brief look, and it was...
Wait.
After 6 o'clock.
Somebody came in here?
Well, So unfortunately, after 6 o'clock, it was centered on the host seat.
Host one.
Yeah, in Greg's chair. So
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So we can't see who came in here.
Unfortunately not.
This seems like a calculated,
you would
premeditated.
Think.
This is a master plan.
This is terroristic, is what it is.
If it's Chris, you know, he could probably get in touch with Donnie that, hey, when the show ends, center the camera on what was Andrew's seat, and then Chris, if it was him, can place the note on that seat where you are.
You're saying that the camera that's facing Josh right now,
I don't think it was
they
Pony.
Moved it.
I don't think it was Pony. Mueller denies it. I don't think it was Pony. Something
I don't think Donnie would do something like that. This doesn't seem
like a Pony move. It doesn't seem like a Donnie move. It seems like a Paul Alexander. It seemed like a Jeff Hathorn move, but he denies it.
He was at Penguins all day.
But Mueller said that he thought Jeff was here for a while. But Jeff denies it. He says, I can't take credit for that. That's what Jeff told me.
He would have owned up to it.
Yeah, he would have. He would have. Couldn't have been. We're running out of suspects here.
We are.
It's got to be Paul Alexander.
I think so, too.
I'm going to text him during the break. All right. We'll be back. Maybe we'll have an answer. And we'll take your calls as well. 412-928-9370. Greg, thanks.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it. Back with more of the Fan Evening Show. I'm Josh Rountree. Somebody left me a note, and I'm ticked off. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. More Fan Evening Show after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And on Wednesday, hear about Joe Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I have sent a text message about the note to our lead suspect right now, our primary suspect. No answer. Austin in Murraysville is up next on the Fan. Hi, Austin.
Josh, can you hear me?
I can.
I think you can go ahead and take Pony and Mueller off your suspect list. They were at the Rivers today, and that camera was centered on Pony's seat the entire time.
But here's the thing. I think before they go to the Rivers, they do come here to the studio and prep.
Oh.
So we can't fully – it doesn't feel like a Pony move to me. It just
– Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Mueller was my initial suspect, but it doesn't feel like a Pony move, and Mueller has flat out denied it.
The search goes on.
The search continues, my friend. Thank you, Austin. This is quite the 8 o'clock hour of Sports Talk Radio. If you're joining us late, somebody left a lewd note. It's not actually lewd at all. It just insinuates that I'm dumb. And that's fine. It's not wrong, but it was just, I don't know. a little uncalled for, maybe. But Paul Alexander is now the lead suspect as we head into the 9 o'clock hour, and we're going to see if we check the video footage. No dice there. It wasn't centered on this seat that I'm in, so we're out of luck. Look, last thing here on the Penguins. You know, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape over the last three games, though, you know, I lived that last year when they started 20-8 and then just fell off a cliff. You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, I was on a podcast, and somebody said, you know, are you buying the good start? And I said, well, last year I was buying the good start when they were 20-8, and I sat here in this host chair, and over and over and over again, I said, this feels like it's sustainable. It doesn't feel like it's all going to drop off a cliff at once. Like, yeah, they might not run the bases as well as they did in the previous month, but they're not going to also not hit, not pitch, not have relief pitching, etc. I was wrong. Like, I'll admit that now. I admitted it then. I was wrong. I thought that there was sustainability in what they were doing. And that was a bigger sample size than what we have now. They've already lost as many games as they did in their first 28 games last year, and they're only 19 games into this year. So you talk about pumping the brakes. That's what I'm doing. I was encouraged certainly by the 9-2 start. That was great. It looked like a pretty good team, but since then, since a 9-2 start, they're 2-6. So I'm not over the moon about this team yet. I think the one thing that's concerning me is I expected this team to have kind of bad starting pitching, but a really, really good bullpen. Wait a minute. Get in here, Greg. Sit down. Hold on. So I expected this team. Greg's going to come in because I think we've had a break in the case. I expected this team to... Oh. I just got a text message on who the new lead suspect is. Anyways, I expected this team to have solid relief pitching. Or solid starting pitching, but not very good relief, but good relief pitching. And it's been the other way around. The starting pitching, I think, generally has been all right. It's been good enough, especially with guys like Jared Jones, Perez, and so on. The relief pitching has let me down, and it's let the team down. Anyways, I can't, I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
I know who did it.
So I just got a text message, and I'm curious if we have the same person.
So I went back on the video feed, even though it wasn't pointed at your chair.
You can still see it.
You can still... No, I could see out there behind us.
You could see in the hallway.
Charlie Borges.
That's the name that just got texted to me.
Charlie Borges walked over to that desk. He took out the two sheets of paper that you just showed me. He had them in both of his hands. And he wrote it down.
What's really interesting here is you saw that on the video footage, but Joel didn't catch it.
I think he gave up.
Which makes me think that Joel and Charlie were possibly in cahoots over the note.
I think Joel gave up. It was in the 7 o'clock hour.
Chuck Borges did this.
There you go.
You know what? That makes sense. He would be the type to do it.
My work here is done, and now I got to go do my real job.
All right. Well, this was more important. Let's be honest. This was far more important tonight. Joel.
Yes, Josh.
We're on board with this. It was Borges.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Greg found what I,
you know what?
I didn't think I was going to find.
I don't have his phone number.
I'll send it to you.
Please do, because I'm going to send him a text message, and I don't know if he has my number in his phone. He might, but I am just going to tear into him in a text message. And we'll get you the results of that when we come back. We're going to switch it up. Penguins, locker room cleanout day was today. Their season's over. I think probably for the best. This season needed to end. The charade of the last 2.5 weeks was just that. This thing needed to be over. And now, mercifully, it is. And what comes next for the Penguins? What's going to happen as a result of back-to-back playoff misses with a lot of talent on the roster and a lot of other things that have come into play here as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.